Genesis chapter 3. And what we're going to do today is we are going to continue in this Christmas season in which I want to spend some time discussing some elements of Christmas that may be sometimes overlooked or not really thought of much. And I want to start in Genesis chapter 3 because what I want to do today is I want to discuss for a little bit. You know, you can believe a preacher when they say for just a little bit. All right, for just a little bit, the pain of Christmas. The pain of Christmas. And we have to start in Genesis chapter 3. Because God had created man and created woman. He has given them this beautiful garden and has blessed them with all of these trees to eat from and this beautiful garden to live in and maintain and these animals to take care of. And then the woman ate, and then the man ate, and then the Lord comes to them. Can we just, as a church, say, thank you, Eve? Can we? Come on, one, two, three. Thank you, Eve, for providing us this beautiful state in which we live in, full of sin, shame, and disease. But here we are in Genesis chapter 3. The man and the woman have ate from the forbidden tree. They have ate from the forbidden fruit. And God comes to look for them. And God finds them. Did you know that God found them? He had to find them and look real hard, but he found them. And this is what he does in Genesis chapter 3. This is known as the chapter of the fall of man. He addresses all three parties involved in sin that is entering the world. You have Adam, you have Eve, and then you have the serpent, our enemy, the deceiver. And what he does there is he tempts Adam and Eve into believing that what they don't have will actually satisfy their soul. And that's another message for another time, but just think about it. Doesn't it always appear that what you don't have will be the one thing to make you happy or the one thing to satisfy you? So they eat from the forbidden fruit. And here God says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he's talking to the serpent first, and he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. Can you get it up there? I don't have the clicker with me today. I'm sorry. I will put enmity between you and the woman, or hostility. And here we are nearly 6,000 years later, still seeing a hostility between good and evil, between the light and the dark. So God tells him, and between your offspring and her offspring, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. This is a messianic prophecy of Jesus Christ to come, who would overcome the world, who would overcome sin, death, and hell and the grave, to bruise the head of our enemy, Satan, as he bruises Jesus' feet as he stands above him. Now look at what happens in verse 16. He addresses Satan, and now in verse 16 he says to the woman, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. So here in two verses we see one of two different things. We see a messianic prophecy of hope. As we discussed last week, we talked about the prophecy of Christmas. And let me just tell you, the prophets and the people in the Old Testament weren't saying, on this Christmas night, it's going to look like this. But they were talking about the one to come, and the one to come was Jesus. And Jesus gave us hope in two ways, hope to save us from our sin, and hope to be with us forever and ever, as he said. And here we are, we see another messianic prophecy of the one to come, the one that would bruise the heel of the head of our enemy, and his hope was to overcome. And Jesus actually said in the book of John, I believe chapter 16, verse 33, when he said, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, have hope, I have overcome the world. And here we are, and then we move to the woman. So we see a prophecy, and then we see a promise. And the promise is to multiply the pain in childbearing. Okay, now keep that in mind. Just hold that thought. Multiply the pain in childbearing. Now flip your Bible to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, which is often the most quoted Christmas story, as it gives the full account of the birth of our Savior. I'll give you a minute. So you're holding on to the thought, in childbearing, there will be great pain. So there's great pain in childbearing. There's great pain in childbearing. And here we are in Luke chapter 2, verse 6. And it says this, "And while they were there," talking about Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem, "the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth." So she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And that last phrase there, the "because there was no place for them in the inn," is another message for you to ask yourself, is there room in my heart for Jesus this Christmas season? Is there room in my plans for Jesus this Christmas season? Is there room in my money for Jesus this Christmas season? But here we are, you see that she gave birth and she wrapped him. Now, do we have any moms in the house? Raise your hand if you are a mother. Can I ask you if there was great pain in childbearing? No? There wasn't? Childbearing is painful. I've done it twice now. All right? I have sat in that room two times now for hours. And I just wonder the whole time I'm just sitting in the chair watching TV, can I take a nap yet? Like, you wake me up when it's time to push. There's nothing I can do. But we see here, she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. You know, before Jesus was ever in a manger, he was first in Mary. And I know you may not think much about it, about pain of Christmas. And, oh, Christmas is supposed to be beautiful, and it's supposed to be happy, and it's supposed to be joyful. But do you not understand the amount of pain in which took place this particular night so our Savior could be born? Why is it that I bring it up? It's just an orange. Ain't nothing bad. Why is it that I bring it up? Because the truth in which I want to just project to you over the next few minutes is this one simple truth. There is a surface level truth and a spiritual level truth back on that promise. The promise was great pain in childbearing. The surface level truth, if you've ever given birth to children, is it's painful. Now, what I've come to find is, and we'll discuss it here in just a little bit later, but there's also a spiritual truth in that. Now, this is my own thinking here, and I'm not saying this is spoken of in the scripture. This could be just my mind and my mind only, because that happens often. But I wonder if Jesus Christ, you know, he could have just showed up. However, it was prophesied about that he would be born of a virgin. Why would the Savior of the world come down from glory, go through the 9 to 10 months in his mother's womb, and then come out in childbearing? And I wonder if it wasn't a revelation to us that Jesus Christ came through the greatest form of pain to reveal to us that he and only he is the one to heal us of our deepest pains. He and he alone. So here we are. Let me just ask you right now, have you ever had pain in your life? Just raise your hand. It would have been easier if I was just said, raise your hand if you haven't had pain. I mean, we've all had physical pain. You get old, anybody else getting old? I'm there. All right? We're getting there. Have you ever stubbed your toe? Now, did that physical pain of stubbing your toe cause you to have tongue pain because of the words in which you said? Most likely, yeah. But we all experience pain. Now, let's not think about some little, you know, little petty, oh, I stubbed my toe. Let's think here just for a minute, just for today, just for the next 15 minutes about some of the deepest wounds in which you actually have. I'm talking about words that truly pierced your heart. I'm talking about actions that have been done that truly broke you on the inside. I'm not talking about Jesus coming to heal us from our toe ache or our toe break. I'm talking about Jesus coming to heal the deepest wounds of our very being in which nothing else could ever heal. He came through the greatest form of pain to reveal to us that he can heal the deepest pains in our heart. Now let's ask a better question. If you've ever been wounded, and I'm not just talking about a little thing here or there or a little splinter here and there. I mean wounded by the words or the actions of someone. Just raise your hand. I mean, we're in this together. We've all been wounded. I mean, like, wounded. I can remember. I can remember the very stance in which I stood as I opened up my phone to read words spoken or text to me one time many years ago. I can remember the very position I was in as it was leaning on a counter. I can remember the very place of my feet as I read the words that truly pierced my heart and made me question a lot of things. I can remember. And I would say that you can remember the very things that people have done or people have said that have truly pierced your heart and your soul and have left you wounded. Well, I wanted to just remind you that today there is hope. And that hope is found in Psalm 147, verse 3. And it says this, that he, the Lord, heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And then if you go to Isaiah chapter 53, you read in verse 5 that with his wounds we are healed. So the psalm says that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And then Isaiah prophesied and said that his wounds are the ones that heal us. Now, this healing is done physically. This healing is given to us spiritually. This healing is offered to us relationally and offered to us emotionally. And the thing that I really just want you to understand today, this is this one big thought, that Jesus heals. Can I tell you that? Jesus heals. If you read throughout all of the Gospels, people who were lame, people who were cast out of the community and away from the rest of the community and could never come into the community or be so close to people, he healed them. People who were lame, people who had never seen, he healed them. And there are some of you today that may have come in here with true wounds in your heart, things that have happened to you in your past, words that were spoken to you, circumstances that come up, and they have wounded you. And I think that most of us try to cover them up. And I think most of us try to cover them up with a few things. And, you know, Taylor Swift has some words of wisdom. Taylor Swift said one time that Band-Aids can't fix bullet holes. Did you know that? Did y'all know that Taylor Swift said that? It wasn't in the scripture. They have considered it. But the spirit of Taylor Swift says, Band-Aids can't fix bullet holes. And now we got bad blood. But what she was saying there is, there are some wounds that can only be healed by one thing. She doesn't come out and tell us it's Jesus in that song, and I don't think she ever would. And if she ever did, we can never quote her music again without paying for it. So I'm thankful that she didn't. But here we are, and we have to understand that there are some things that the bottles can't fix. There are some things that bottles can't heal, because you know why? Eventually bottles will run empty and you'll need more. That's why. There are some things and some people that just cannot heal. Even though they're nice and they love and they're good and they make me feel good, eventually they're going to go to bed. You know, I was listening to some medical professionals or a preacher, same difference, talk about how wounds are healed. And, you know, as I was in the Marine Corps, we had to do a lot of open wound training. If you're in combat and someone gets hit with something and there's an open wound, you know, you have to tourniquet it and you have to keep it raised or do all of these things. And these medical professionals said two of the greatest things that you can do when you experience an open wound is to leave it exposed, one. And two is let the blood flow. Little did they know that science actually caught up with the supernatural power of Jesus. That as we come into church, as we sit in our living room on Tuesday night, as we drive in the car on Friday or Saturday, wherever you are and you experience these wounds, these words that people say, these things that happen to us in this life, these wounds in which we truly experience and carry us, you know, from season to season, and wounds that choke our joy and wounds that steal our peace, the only way that those wounds can truly be healed is if we leave them exposed. And if we let the blood flow. See, the reality is that Jesus can never heal what he does not have. He cannot heal your marriage if he doesn't have your marriage. He cannot heal your life if he doesn't have your life. He cannot restore your heart if he doesn't have your heart. He can never restore your finances in your marriage or your family or your future if he doesn't have them. Jesus can only heal what he has. So some of us will try to cover up, and instead of letting the blood flow, the blood of Jesus Christ, because we're reminded in his word that through his wounds we are healed. The blood shed is the one thing that touches upon our wounds and heals them and restores them. Jesus and Jesus alone is the one that heals our broken relationships. He's the one and one alone that restores our broken past and reconciles our relationship to him. It's him and him alone that repairs our broken heart. The Bible says it. We just read it. It is he and he alone that heals. But here's what we do. Some of us like to cover it up with Band-Aids. Now here, let's talk about a few Band-Aids. We talked about bottles. We talked about people. Let's talk about Facebook. Some of us will cover up our wounds with social media. And if I could just tell you, from saving yourself the time of doing it, those people that say, "I'm praying for you," are going to forget what you posted as they read the very next post below you. Can I just tell you that? I mean, it sounds harsh, like, no, they're praying. No, they've forgotten what you asked as soon as they read the next post. It's just a Band-Aid. It's just a Band-Aid of trying to cover up the brokenness in which we feel. But the beautiful thing about this Christmas story and this Christmas season is that 2,000 years ago, the one that came born of a virgin was the great physician. And he heals us spiritually. He heals us relationally. He heals us emotionally. He heals us physically. All of it is done by him and him alone. It is simply in his grace. But what we do is we just try to put Band-Aids on bullet holes. We try to put Band-Aids. We try to put this on it. We try to put that on it. We try to put that person who's bringing us joy. And then eventually they're going to go to bed, or eventually they're going to leave us. And then we try to put this habit on it because this habit makes me feel good. And this habit removes the stress for just a minute. Or then we go to this outlet, or we go to that outlet. And what I would just tell you today is this is simple. Remove the Band-Aids in which you put over the wounds of your life. Remove the Band-Aids. Remove the Band-Aids. Because what we see here in Luke chapter 2 is that while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Now, I want you to just picture yourself in the manger for a minute. Just picture yourself in the manger. You know, Mary's screaming. Ah! That's what Michaela does. That's what Michaela does. Should we go home now? I'm sleep deprived, all right? I'm sorry. And Joseph probably sitting there reading a paper, reading a tablet. You know, Joseph had a tablet. It looked a little bit different than our tablet, but he probably had a tablet. There's Mary, you know, in pain. There's Joseph. You know, and the crazy thing is to think that for however many miles they walked on a donkey. Can you moms just be appreciative if you got driven to the hospital? All right, can I just be real with you for a minute? You got driven to the hospital. Be thankful that he was going 80 instead of, you know, the donkey speed. Some of y'all were sitting in the room with a donkey, not riding on one like Mary was, all right? I'm sorry. But here we are in this stable, and Mary gives birth to the son. You know, I'm not sure how many monitors they had hooked up. I'm not sure how they checked the umbilical cord or, you know, the pulse, but there they are. They give birth, and Mary, who's in probably great pain, they didn't have epidurals back then. They didn't have anything. And I mean, just picture, just for a minute, like just picture this little baby boy crying. And I can't help but to think that every tear that that baby boy cried as he was born was to just show that in him, I would not have to ever cry again. Like in that baby boy, there I am as I'm standing as a cow in the thing. I'm sitting with some sheep or whatever's around me. in this beautiful stable is this baby boy, Yahshua. We call him Emmanuel. God is now with us. The prophecy came to life. The prophecy was God is with us. And as Mary wrapped that baby up and laid him in the manger, she may have shouted, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God is truly with us. But man, it hurt. It hurt. And I just want you to know today that this life hurts. There are some great pains that we will experience in this life. One of them are sitting right next to you. It's hard to be married. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you are a normal human. Some of you are normal human beings. And you have to live with another human being that has their own mind and wants to do things their way, and you have your way, and it's difficult. It's difficult to listen to a boss that may not know what they're talking about. It's difficult to one parent wanting to slap a kid on the back and the other one saying, no, put him in timeout. It's difficult. It's difficult when the doctor calls and it's not what you wanted to hear. It's painful. It's painful when you stand in a room with a bunch of chairs and my good friend BJ DeClue stands next to you. That's painful. As you see your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, your friend, your neighbor, as the casket is closed and you know that that is the last time you will ever see them again, it is painful. Some of the things that happened on this device right here, man, they're painful. Painful. Drive through the city of Potosi for 30 minutes and tell me something doesn't break your heart. This life is painful, man. It hurts. The company shuts down. You don't get the job. The marriage is falling apart. It's painful. I think everybody in this place, if you were to just simply sit here in silence for just a minute, you would reflect upon some deep, deep wounds that have choked your joy and robbed you from your peace. Because this life hurts. But the beautiful thing about that manger scene is as that baby boy laid there, you know, Joseph and Mary could probably cry out, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God is truly with us now. This promise has come to life. He is with us. It is the same shout that you can sing today. God is with me. Through whatever circumstance, through whatever pain, through whatever wounds that you experience, God is with you. The only problem is that God cannot heal what he does not have. You came in today with a broken past. He can never reconcile your past unless he has it. You came in today with marriage issues. He can never repair your marriage unless he has it. You came in today with a broken heart, feeling the weight of this world. He can never repair or heal your heart until he has it. What I want to do today is I want to remind you that, yes, 2,000 years ago, this baby was born and we should sing songs of praise to him. But I think we should take a moment right now in this place as much as we can, truly reflecting and thanking God that our wounds may be healed. Thank God. I mean, just that statement alone, he heals the brokenhearted and binds their wounds, should be reason enough for you to give God praise the rest of your life. I don't have to talk about how iron sharpens iron and great life groups and come to this church because it's growing and all these things. You should want to praise God just because he heals your broken heart and no one else can. You should want to praise him and sing songs to his name and lift up your voice and elevate your mind and your heart and serve and love others because he has healed you just as he has healed them. And we are all in this painful, broken world together, experiencing deep, deep wounds. However, if we leave them exposed, we can allow the blood to flow. And it's simply the blood of Jesus Christ that will flow upon your wounds and heal them. Scars may be there, but scars may be a symbol of the wounds that are now healed. It may be painful, and this life may be hard, but the glorious thing that happened 2,000 years ago in that manger was Mary and Joseph wrapped him up and shouted, "Emmanuel, God is with us." And if you came in here today, I want you to know that if he has your life, you can shout, "Emmanuel, God is with me." When the doctor calls, God is with me. When I walk through the valley, God is with me. When I have no money for my bills, how am I going to put food on the table with all of these kids? God is with me. How am I going to respond to Sally at work because all she does is bring me down and talk about people and stab me in the back? God is with me. How am I going to continue on when I have no idea what God wants me to do? How am I going to continue on when one of the most visited places in this community that I go to is one of the cemeteries in honor of people that I love dearly? How am I going to do? All you do is you shout, "Emmanuel, God is with me." That and the scars that we have on our heart, as I said, are simply going to be a symbol of the wounds that have healed. But not when they have band-aids on them. Let's remove the band-aids. Let's remove the other factors in this life that we run to and that we cling to try to bring us healing and try to bring us joy and peace. And let's leave them exposed. And what I want to do right now in this moment, I want, right as we sing and as we worship, I want it to be as solemn as possible. I want it to be as quiet as we can possibly make it. And I want you right where you are, if you want to come to an altar and pray, right where you are and pray, I want you to ask yourself this question: what does Jesus not have that only he can heal? What does Jesus not have that only he can heal? And what I will tell you is, I don't know how he does it. Are you confident enough? I don't know how he does it, but he does it. I can't tell you the ways in which Jesus heals you or these steps to take, but all I know is one step to take, and that is to remove the band-aids and expose your wounds and your hurt and your pain to him. So right now, I want to pray. Right now, as a church, everybody, I want you to just pray with me.